Welcome to the Launch Button Podcast, where we allot the secrets of successful entrepreneurs and real estate investors who found the courage to hit the launch button and take control of their destiny. Join me, Hugh Zaretsky, best-selling author, seasoned real estate investor, and serial entrepreneur, as we dive deep into inspiring stories and invaluable lessons that will empower you to break free from the ordinary and pursue your true passions. Are you feeling trapped in a job that drains your passion and leaves you yearning for more? Are you ready to accelerate your business and or real estate investing to take it to the next level? It's time to ignite your dreams and embrace the limitless possibilities that life has to offer. Get ready to launch into the life you've always desired by pressing the launch button.
So we got coast to coast here, literally between Seattle, California, and New York and Florida. We've got the whole country covered, and then we've got some of the in-between states as well. So as we jump in here today, we're going to focus on vitality. It isn't something we focused a ton on this call, but a bunch of you have experience working with Ron Williams from other organizations. You've seen some of the different things. I know Gloria is currently working with him, and she's dropped about 8 pounds. Is that correct? Yeah, she's dropped about 8 pounds just in the last couple of weeks. So as we're going through the different things here and a little bit of the background on Ron, somehow his camera's off, but we'll have him turn it back on here in a second for him. And as we are going through, there's Coach Ron. And it's a great story. And I love to tell this one. And Ron's going to be a little nervous, like, which story is he going to tell for that? But as we go through this, we're going to make this pretty informal. But yet we also want to make sure we get the content and the information, as you guys know how we do this as we're going through this, so that everybody can be there and be a part of it. But with Ron, when I was in going back in the day, I used to watch his videos and his workouts and see him on the cover of magazines when I was a kid going through my bodybuilding stage, because I was super thin at that time and I had to put on weight. So I used to do the Rocky diet for anybody old enough to watch Rocky. And in fact, I saw it in the Hobbs and Shaw movie, right? Hobbs even did it, where he just drank the raw eggs. And then I used to dip bread in the raw eggs and just, you know, I needed extra cap carbs. So I would just dip some bread in the raw eggs and then just eat that as French toast. Yeah, I know that's a thumbs down now, Ron, but back in the day, like, we didn't have all the different products to like gain weight and stuff. So I had to put on the weight to do that. You know, who cares about salmonella? That doesn't matter. But I was trying to be like him on the cover of the magazine back in the day when he became the 7-time world champion, right? 7-time Mr. Universe, 7-time Mr. Olympiad, and then became bodybuilder of the decade when he was in his prime there. And so as we're going through this, we want to make sure that you are all plugged in on that. And Jessica, go ahead and turn your camera on. So we can, oh, that's your sister-in-law. Okay, just checking on that. So we can make sure that there she is. So we've got that and be able to do that. So Ron here has been in the health and wellness space since before most of us got started in it. From the nutrition to the workouts. And he's created a whole bunch of different things, including the different body types that we're gonna go through. But Ron has a very unique story, just he didn't start off like most people. He started off in the hood. Let's just put it that way, right? Ron, we put it in the hood is where you started off. And he had to go through a lot of the transformations that a lot of people do in their personal growth. Because before you can fix your body, you have to fix your mindset. And Ron has spent many years going through fixing his mindset and be able to do that. And if you don't know, he just spoke to all the Olympic athletes just before the Paris Olympics and was able to give them advice on that. So, and he just became the doctor. Dr. Ron is the official new title as of June 7th. So you're hearing it second here today, just before that happens. So Ron, tell everybody a little bit about your background and why you got into athletics and fitness, because.
Okay, I'll jump right in. Well, one of the reasons why I jumped into athletics and fitness, because It was one of the only things I thought I was good at. What I used to do on the street all the time is fight, fight, fight. I was this angry little guy that didn't care who you were. If we could fight, it would make me feel better. So I wanted to find a reason for me to punch you, and I would feel better about life in general. And then I'll derive from my younger childhood, being mistreated, being abused, being touched the way a child should never be touched, being dumped off at different families. I remember taking baths. And when I would take a bath, it was only so I could scrub the dirt off. I would put bleach in the bath water, and I would take a scrub brush and scrub my skin. And you could see out of the pores, you could see little drops of blood because I was scrubbing, trying to get the dirt off, and I just couldn't. So that inside developed a lot of anger, low self-esteem, low self-worth. I felt if my mother didn't love me, my father didn't love me, who could? I even felt that even God didn't love me, because if he was really God, why did he let me go through all the things that I went through? So I found out I was good at managing pain. And if I could manage pain better than the next person, then I could win. So, I mean, and that was in any athletics. If I could manage pain better in boxing, I could win. If I could manage pain better in track, I could win. So what I did is I began to game the pain ordeal. And I began to game being able to control the pain, because the emotional and the mental pain that I went through, I couldn't control that. But when I was running track, say, for example, I'm running the 400 meter dash. And I know that when you hit the 300 mark, the monkey jumps on your back and everybody starts to slow down. Who wins the race at that point is not the fastest, but it's the one who can manage the pain and push through the pain the most. So I was able to do that better than my competition. So I would win a race that my body is not made for. I found the same thing to be true in bodybuilding. Found the same thing to be true in marriage. I've got a wife that's really hard to live with, and I can manage the pain. No, I'm just kidding. She's actually sitting right here. And so I thought I would.
We love Tanya. We know she's so.
But the thing about that is I learned how to manage pain. And when we do run into little circumstances, it's nothing compared to what I was raised in, what I was brought up in, and I can manage that pain, and I can facilitate around some of those things, and it means nothing. It's who can manage the pain the best. So actually, we have a great relationship. Yeah, long answer, but there you go. That's how I got started. Managing pain was where I really got started.
Yeah, and that's the short story of that. In the future, you'll get a chance to hear the longer version of that. But so then you were in athletics, and then what got you into bodybuilding?
Well, bodybuilding, I was on the Army boxing team, played 4 sports on an international level. And then I was on the Army boxing team, and my coach came to me and he said, "Ron, have you ever thought about bodybuilding?" I looked at him and I said, "Bodybuilding? I haven't lost yet, man. I haven't lost in boxing. Why are you talking about bodybuilding?" I thought he was saying you're washed up in boxing. But what he was saying is that, you know, we've been running 13 miles a day, and I would play 3 different sports in a weekend. I would swim one day, run track the next day, and box or wrestle following day. So in a weekend, I could play 3 different sports. And so, but he saw that with the way my body was developing, playing these different sports and training and that kind of thing, that my body had shaped up into possibly competing. So I went about 200 miles from where I was stationed as a teenager, competed, knew nothing about the sport, and won my first competition. And I was so insecure, so down on Ron Williams, that after I won this competition, I said, you know what? They felt sorry for me, and they gave me the trophy. So I couldn't tell, my mindset was in such a way that I couldn't tell if I was good because I had a dysmorphia that made me feel less than. I couldn't tell how I looked unless I saw it in pictures. But if I looked at you and looked at me, no matter what, you look better. But then I grew out of that. Now I think I look better than everybody. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Yes, really, I am. If you guys know me, the ones of you that know me know that that's not my personality. I love making other people look.
No,
that's my heart.
Very true on that. And Ron likes to work with everybody and to be able to help them with that. Now, with that champion mindset, because that's one of your things, talk about building the champion mindset, right? And yes, being able to flow through that. So is that where that champion mindset started, where you started to tap into that?
Well, not really. I was asked a question year after year after year. And that question here was this: what does it take to compete at the level that you do? And what makes you as good as you are? And how can I do what you do? And I would, you know, I didn't understand the question. But so I would answer this. I would answer like this: well, this is what I eat and this is how I train. And you really don't want to know the answer to the question that you're asking me, because you're not willing to do what it takes to be who I am as a competitor. I'm willing to go the extra mile. Competing to me was not just for fun. It was life. It was my life, because I had no family. When I won, the people loved me. The world loves a winner. So the people loved me when I won, and it was the only real family I had. So it was life or death. I had to win. So whatever it required for me to win, I was willing to put in those extra hours. But the real question they were asking me was this: not what I ate, not how I trained, but they were asking me, what does it take and what principles do you use in your life that I could use in my life to become Mr. Universe in my world? How can I become Mr. Universe in business? How can I become Mr. Universe in being a family man? How could I do that? So begin to, you know, look at this question a little bit different. And I started applying these principles in faith, family, fitness, and finances, and realized that these principles are universal. They're universal. If I have the consistency, if I have the dedication and the passion, and I was willing to apply those principles, they worked everywhere. And Hugh, this is one of the main things that I realized, is that I really didn't want to win championships, even though that was a byproduct of what I did. What I wanted to do is I wanted to be a champion. See, I can win championships, and that's what you do. But next year, that championship is up for grabs. But if I become a champion, that's who I am. That's a mindset. That's a heart set. And so I learned how to become a champion, and that transfers over even after competition is gone.
And that's what a lot of people want, whether it's in their business, in their life, right? Is to have that champion mindset to, when you get knocked down, pull yourself back up, get right back into the fight, right? And be able to do that. So what is some of the keys to building that champion mindset, in your opinion?
Well, one, a key is, if first, find out who you are. We have to go to the root, because when we're born, we come out of our mother's womb. We're born with a purpose. Purpose is not something that you go out and make up. A purpose is something that you discover. It's already inside of you. After we're born, what takes place is life. And when life happens, it starts to discourage or get you off track. If I'm born here, my purpose is here, every negative circumstance that I go through starts to get me off purpose, makes me think a little bit less about myself. So sometimes what we have to do, or people, sometimes even our parents get us off by directing us in a place or a direction we shouldn't go in. So as I go back and I get to the root of who I really am, I start to slowly get back on purpose. Slowly get back on purpose. Those hurts and those harms and those wounds that everybody encounters, everybody has some type of trauma that happened in their lives. When we deal with the root, not the surface, not the symptoms, but we go to the root and we dig out that root and we get rid of that hindrance, we start to see who we really are. And as an inventor, me and my wife, we have five different patents. We're working on our sixth one now. But as an inventor, if you look at, for example, my Iron Chess Master, which Laura and Kip and Hugh, very, very familiar with. Hugh has a really good story about that in Central Park. But as you look at the Iron Chess Master, if you were to look at that and you didn't know anything about it, you would wonder, what do you do with that thing? Well, if you want to find out the purpose of the Iron Chess Master, it says R.W. Iron Chess Master, which means Ron Williams. And you would go to Ron Williams to find out how to work that thing, because whatever a thing is, the potential and the idea of that thing, you'll find the purpose of a thing always in the mind, the creator of that thing. So if you go to the mind of the creator, he can tell you everything about that invention. So I need to figure out if I'm created being, who created me? Well, because God created me, I need to go to him to find out what my purpose is. And the closer I get to him, the more I find out what my purpose is. So I've clearly found out what my purpose is. And a lot of that is you people. To be able to change, drastically change and give information that's been downloaded to me so that we can transform lives and help each other move forward and upward. Boom.
Awesome. Now, you can tell the Iron Chess Master story in Central Park. You're okay to go ahead and do that and share that with these nice folks.
I really like the way you tell it, man. But you want me to tell it?
Or we have Tanya tell it, whichever.
Okay, I'll tell it. Well, we go to Central Park, and with the Iron Chess Master, it's built to grow with you. So if you're a little bit weak, you know, you can use the Iron Chess Master, still feel good about yourself. But if you're extremely strong, you can also use the Iron Chess Master, and it's extremely taxing. So we go to Central Park. We're taking this video with Hugh, and I don't know if you realize this or not, but he's extremely competitive. So, you know, he's relatively strong, I have to say. But I give him my Iron Chess Master with the heavy bands on it. And he doesn't look at the black or the red bands. He just looks at the Iron Chess Master. So I said, Hugh, you know, we're on the video. I'm saying, now, I want you to keep up with me. I'm going to go relatively slow at a slow pace. And I want you to keep up with me. I really don't think you can. So let's give it a try. So I've got the really easy bands, and Hugh has the extremely hard bands. So we're going down and up, and then I go, like, it's hard. And Hugh says, okay, it makes sense because it's hard for me. Then I just start doing them really fast and really easy. And Hugh's trying to keep up with me, and he's shaking like this, you know, and he's competitive. You know, we're on film, and I can't look bad. So, man, I bet his chest was so sore the next day. But he kept up with me pretty good. And then I told him afterwards, Hugh, look at the bands. You had the extremely hard bands, and mine were easy.
Yeah, and full disclosure, I'd never seen the Iron Chess Master before, so he just put it down in front of me. I didn't know the difference. And the whole time, we don't have the video anymore, but Tanya was laughing so hard, she was shaking the whole time, taking the video there, because she was just dying on it. But that's that mindset. Right? That's that mindset of going through it and keeping up and not quitting. And for those of you guys that don't know, Ron's got, like, I don't know how many inventions, 30 different inventions for workout equipment, something like that, a whole bunch of different, he's coming out with some new patents and things like that. So he actually designs his own workout gear. The Iron Chess Master product.
With the 30 inventions, you're really close, really close, but it's only five. Well, five patents. You have a lot of inventions, but only five patents.
Yeah,
so 30's close, man. That's a prophecy. That's what's going to happen before it's over, Hugh.
Well, I was doing inventions and you're doing patents. So how many inventions do you have?
Probably 10.
Okay. All right. So there we go. But now, from the champion mindset, you know, 7-time Mr. Universe, 7-time world champion. Now, let's just explain to people. Let me back up for a second. When you were 6-time Mr. Universe, 6-time world champion, and 6-time Mr. Olympiad, what gave you the push to go for that 7th time? Because you've already done everything, right? You've already won the championships. You've already done it. How do you keep yourself motivated even after winning each one of those 6 times?
Well, throughout my career, I retired several times. One time I retired early on. I think I was 333, and I felt like, you know, I went into ministry. And so I retired from bodybuilding because my name was Ron Bodybuilding Williams. God was not first. So when I started getting closer and closer to God, I heard a voice say, retire. And I was like, I rebuke you, devil, you know, and he said, my name is not the devil, I'm God. So I retired for 7 long years, 7. I came out of retirement, went on a, after 7 years, went on a 7-day vacation. That first year, won 7 championships, 7, 7, 7. So as you know, 7 is my number. So here I am, I'm 666 all of a sudden with Mr. World, Mr. Universe, Mr. Olympia. And retired. Me and my wife decided, you know, I'm going to retire. I mean, I've done everything. And so a couple of months into my retirement, I started thinking, 666? Do I really want to retire with that number? And it's going to be stuck with me the rest of my life? And I thought, I got one more in me. I know I got one more in me. So even if it was 676, it's better than 666. So I came out of retirement. I came out of retirement and said, I'm going to do it one more time. And so I did the 777, and that left me free to retire.
Awesome. So now that you've switched from that side of it into the coaching and training side, you've developed a couple different understandings of people's different body types and how they process food differently, right? Not everybody can eat the same thing and have the same output or input, whether it's gaining muscle, losing weight, those types of things. So you want to talk a little bit about how you break down the different body types?
Okay. One thing is, what's been really important to me is in my young life, they told me you were dumb, you're stupid, you'll never amount to anything, you're a loser, you'll be dead or in jail before you're 18. So all of these things were predicted about me, and none of them really happened. But along the way, that thought process, because I didn't learn to read until I was 28 years old. So all of these negative thought processes followed me. And as I start making these shifts and changes, the world and other people begin to acknowledge the fact that I had something was different. I did a workshop. Well, first, after 28 years old, I learned how to read by reading the Bible. And because if I'm going to have a relationship with God, I've got to understand what he's saying, right? So I always say God taught me how to read by reading the Bible. So I began to read the Bible, learned how to read. Before you know it, I was writing books. So I have about 10 books that we've written. So that stamps of approval. I did a workshop for some doctors and some different business people. And they looked at the way I put the endocrine system together. They said, we've never seen anything like that. Everything you said is true. I'm an endocrinologist, and I've never seen it quite put together that way. What state was that in, sweetheart?
Denver.
Denver, Colorado. They'd never seen anything like it before. And so it kind of stamped of approval from the world. And then they asked me to come to a college to teach. Now remember, no high school diploma or anything. So I go to the college and I teach. Well, the head professor comes to me and said, will you train and teach at the college? I'm like, how can I train and teach at the college? These kids are smarter than me. They said, no, these kids are not smarter than you. I don't know anybody that teaches what you teach on diet, nutrition, and exercise. The way you put that together. So they said, we're going to give you an honorary degree, and we want you to come and teach at the college. So I became a professor and started teaching at the college. So there's another stamp of approval. Then not long ago, I did some training and some teaching, and somebody gathered all of my information, all of my classes, all of the things that I've done, and they sent it into a college board. And the college board said, this guy deserves a doctorate degree in what he's accomplished. I'm like, that dumb kid that'll never amount to anything. Where is he? That is not me. I am not him. I am Mr. Universe. I am a professor. I am a doctor. I'm a great husband. I am the guy. So my goal is to take all the things that I've learned and the transitions. This is not something I learned in school. This is something that I've lived. These are principles that have been downloaded to me that God has given me and that my life experience has given me. And I'm able to transfer that to other people to change their lives. And I've seen it happen over and over and over. And the thing about the principles, Hugh, is they're transferable. They're universal. I don't have a corner on these principles, but I have a different, unique way of transferring them to other people.
All right. You want to share one of those principles here?
Okay. One of the principles is consistency. It's very simple. It's very, very simple. A consistency is a huge factor. I don't care what you do. Like I said, it's a universal principle. If you're in school, even in, you know, elementary school, if you're in school and you go 20% of the time, you're not going to pass. So consistency is important. If you're married and you're 40% into that marriage, you got a problem. It's not going to make it because you're not willing to put in what it requires. Marriage requires work on both sides. So regardless of what you're doing, it deserves a level of consistency. And another principle that's really important is talked about it a little bit last night. It's about limiting thought processes. Limiting thought processes. Fear. Fear is a real thing. Fear is real. But with fear, it's impossible to have courage without fear. I invite fear because it requires courage. The definition for courage is overcoming fear. So I'm not afraid of fear. So those fearful things of not understanding the unknown. Some people say fear is not real, but fear is very real. It's very real. Some of you are afraid to speak or stand in front of a crowd. People tell you, oh, it's not real. No, it's real. You can feel it. Your heart is jumping out of you. That is a real thing. But to overcome that, if it's not real, you haven't overcome much. But if it's real and you overcome it, you can give yourself a pat on the back and say, look what I was capable of doing. If you say fear is not real, I don't think you're telling the truth. But there are three types of fear. And one type of fear is really a protection to you. I'm afraid if Kip, I love Kip, I trust Kip, if he put a blindfold on my eyes and I hear 18-wheelers going across the interstate and he says, okay, Ron, do you trust me? Yes. Do you love me, Ron? Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to give you a little shove and I want you to run out in front of those 18-wheelers. I'm afraid to do that because of the repercussions. So I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid. So fear is very real, but it's how we deal with the fear. Fear is not the worst thing. It's how you manage it. So fear, I invite. Pain, I invite. I know how to make pain a friend. I know how to manage pain. So I don't close, oh, it's painful. No, 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 I want to see it. When you're boxing, Hugh, if that person throws a punch and you close your eyes, just turn around and run because you don't know where the next punch is coming from. You open your eyes, bam. So you got to watch it. And so when fear comes, I'm watching it. I'm watching it and figuring out how I can adapt and adjust and better manage what's taking place in front of me.
Awesome. And I have noticed one thing here today, Ron. When we first started speaking together on stages and everything like that, you know what you wouldn't do and you refuse to do even in pictures?
What's that? Smile. Well, that's gone, Hugh. Yeah, that's gone. I just laugh all the time. If you live with a woman like I do, you can't help but to smile, man.
I used to have the hardcore on stage. He had to be the hardcore guy. And even when I tried to take pictures with him, so that was my whole goal at every event, to make him smile at one point so I could snap a picture with him. And now I don't have to do it. He smiles all the time now. So
if you look at Hugh now and you look at me right now, this is where we take pictures.
All in the old
that's
days.
Changed.
But yes. Well, that's changed. Yes. As things change and evolve. So now we've got some people on here that are working out, you know, they're working on their fitness. They're going through the different things. We even have one young woman, 12 years old, going to be a WWE wrestler when she grows up. And, you know, so what type of fitness tips, things that are trending, things that are you see an improvement? I know you've just helped Gloria lose 8 pounds in a short period of time, and she's continuing on her fitness journey with you. So what are some of the things, trends that you're seeing or things that you're applying in your practice to help people either gain weight or lose weight?
Okay. I'm going to answer that. But as I answer that, I just want to say this, that there's not one size that fits all. There are some generalizations that you can follow. If the person wants to gain muscle, if the person wants more definition, the person wants to decrease body fat, if the person wants to eat and exercise to be healthy. So those are four different areas that we start with. So whatever your foundation is where we start. If you say, you know what, I'm really skinny and I want to get started, there are certain things that you want to apply for that individual that wouldn't necessarily be the goal of the next person. So you say, Ron, we want you to put us on a program. Well, who is us and what are our goals? So if you can tell me specifically, like what we have set up, even in our website, is those four different programs. And if you say, this is generalized, this is where I want to start, then there's a range for you to get started with. There's a range for you to get started with. Like there are certain principles. If you want to put on muscle mass, when you work out, the objective is to tear the muscle. Some people, oh, that's injury. No, you micro tear the muscle. And then the muscle swells, but you've actually slightly injured that muscle. And when you work out, what they call it is a pump, a muscle pump, where blood rushes to that muscle and the muscle looks bigger. Well, guess what? It didn't grow. You just slightly injured that muscle. And the body is a self-preservation survival mechanism. So because you put that stress on that muscle, it slightly tore that muscle. Now it wants to repair according to the stress you applied to it. So now that that muscle repairs, you feed it, you rest it, it repairs. And it says, if you keep doing this, I have no choice but to grow. So that muscle begins to grow. So there's a certain rep range that you want to do, a certain amount of time that muscle is under stress to get the results that you want. Certain nutritional macronutrients you want to put in the body for that growth. If you want to build muscle, you want to make sure you eat protein. Protein, because the muscle is made up of protein. If you want to build more definition, you want to make sure that you look at your carbohydrates, because it takes energy, and it takes energy to get through the workout. If you want to lose fat, it sounds counter, it sounds counterintuitive, but if you want to lose fat, you have to take in fat. You have to take in fat, but it's a different type of fat. You have your essential fatty acids, and then you have your saturated fats. You want to take in fat. So we have all of the ratios that you're supposed to take in for each one of in any program that you're doing. And there's a place to start, and then there's a place to grow into. So I would have companies say, well, we just put us on a program. Well, I could have you doing something that's different than this other person is doing. If you do the same thing, you're not going to get the results that you're looking for. So it has to be catered to what you want to accomplish. I hope that answered that question.
Yep. Does anybody have any questions on that? I'll open that up to the chat.
I would say not so much a question per se, because obviously, Ron, we've worked out a lot together, but I can say that the program works amazing. It's incredible when you get it tailored. If you want to achieve the results that you're getting, it's a really good program to dial in for your type. And your type can change over time, depending on where your goals are and your functions. A lot of times people will find you and they want to sculpt down a bit and lose some of that fat. So you're on one program. And then when you get down to where you want to go, now you want to bulk back up a little bit to get some lean muscle on. So the program, what I like is it's dynamic. You can change it as you go and keep aligned with your goals and objectives.
Absolutely. That's Great observation. And now, Kip, you would like this because you are one of the smartest people I know. I have to say my wife is the smartest. And then you come into a close second. And then, but anyway, now it's hard to patent a process. But this, what we've done with you guys, has elevated to a whole new place where we've got a patentable process that is amazing. We're in the process of getting it patented now. And it will be another stamp of approval. You know what? I used to look in the mirror and I would say this to myself, Hugh. I would say, I hate you. I don't know why anybody would spend any time with you whatsoever. You hated me. I hated being alone, but I hated being around people too. So I was in a dilemma. And they said to me, what you should do is you should just join the military and go to Germany. And I said, go to Germany? Wow, I can get away from people. Man, I got off that plane, people over there too. They just spoke a different language. But this process, when you guys see it, I can't reveal what it is exactly, all of it today, because it's being patented, but it's amazing. I mean, I look at it and go, wow. Okay, mister.
Yeah. For me, I need to change my mindset. You know, Coach, from you are working hard with me about my mindset, because I have some concepts, but I need to change them. Please don't fight with me.
I'm going to fight with you, but not like this. I'm going to fight with you different. You won't even know I'm fighting, because most of the time I'm fighting with you, and I'm doing it now. I'm praying for you. I'm praying, God, help me help her, because I want to see you get some great results. I want to use you as one of the examples of what middle-aged, beautiful woman can accomplish, and have you on our website to say, this is what you're capable of.
I'm working hard because you believe in me and believe in mine. Yeah?
Yes. I do believe in you.
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome.
So did you see that little exchange? Do you see that little exchange of love right there, Hugh?
I saw it. I had mine yesterday with Gloria. We were on our one-on-one. I got you. So one of the misconceptions I know from being in the athletic space like that is a lot of people use a scale to determine if they're in shape or out of shape, right? I mean, I think that's one of the oldest and most sort of thought of processes to tell if you're in shape or not. But, you know, oftentimes when we want to get in shape, we have to put on weight, we have to put on muscle, but lose fat, and they weigh different things. So what do you tell to people that go through that process?
I'm actually glad you brought that up. The best, you know, the scale can be used as a small indicator and measurement of progress, but the real progress is the muscle to fat ratio. And the first 21 days of what we do is really a fat cell and a muscle cell detox, because we have fat loss resistant toxins. And those fat loss resistant toxins, there's a law to them. As long as they exist in your body, they're good at what they do, and they will accomplish what they want to accomplish. Fat loss resistant toxins are chemicals that's even in your water, chlorine. You have your bromide. You have all different types of toxins that are in the water. And what happens is the fat cell, or the fat that we have, it actually protects us. Fat is in our body for several reasons. One, fat actually absorbs toxins. So if you eat a toxin, the fat cell will absorb it into itself so that it protects the internal organs. But that toxin is attached to the fat molecule. And as long as that toxin is in the cell, that fat has a right to be there. And you can exercise and exercise and exercise. You'll lose more muscle before you lose that fat. And when you do lose that fat, it's only looking for other fat to absorb to that toxin. So for the first 21 days, we're detoxifying the fat cell. Well, the other problem is with your muscle. If you have some of the same toxins, what they do is they hang over the neurotransmitter that's attached to the muscle. And as you're working out extremely hard, sending a signal to that muscle that you want it to grow, that toxin is interfering with that signal. So you're not getting the same muscle growth that you want. So the first 21 days, we want to detoxify, not the kidneys, not the liver. We want to detoxify the fat cell and the muscle cell and the neurotransmitters so that the body can receive the proper signal. Consequently, in that first 21 days, we see people lose between 7 to 30 pounds because they're getting rid of the toxins that are hindering them from getting rid of the extra body fat. So some people say, "Oh, it's a miracle. Look how much weight I lost, and I'm eating so much. I feel like, how am I losing this weight? This is impossible." No, you've followed the process. There are 21 fat loss signals that you're sending to your body during that time period just by following the process. Like one of the fat loss signals is drink more water. More water helps to flush the fat out of your system. But water is a transport system. It'll transport into the body, but it'll also transport out of the body. So you want to make sure that the water you're drinking is a pure kind of water. And you fortify that with minerals because our bodies are electrically conductive. So that's a fat loss principle. You want to take in at least 64 ounces of water, depending on how much you weigh. Stop eating 2 hours before bed. You say, "Well, why should I do that?" It's going to help you decrease body fat. Never eat a carbohydrate alone. The carbohydrate eaten alone spikes the blood glucose level, forcing the pancreas to release a tremendous amount of insulin. That's the culprit to diabetes. That's the culprit to excess body fat. It's the extra insulin that creates, and when that insulin is secreted, it brings the blood sugar level down. But you've got all these extra molecules that are pumped directly into the fat cell. You don't have to know that. All you have to do is follow the 21-day jumpstart. So there are 21 principles like that that'll help you. When you go to bed at night, if you stop eating 2 hours before bed, what happens is the body goes through a semi-hibernation state when you go to bed. So the body is ready to go to sleep. And so it slows down. If you have these extra calories in your body, it says, "Oh, I'm slowing down. All these extra calories, let's just store those." It stores it as fat. And so if I stop eating 2 hours before bed, it has nothing there. Never eat a carbohydrate alone. Some of the carbs that you're eating, they're perfectly fine. Just don't eat them the last meal of the day. Why? White potato. You have a white potato? Well, that's fine. Eat it earlier in the day, not by itself. But if you eat it your last meal, you have all of these extra calories, and because it's a starch, starch digests and absorbs faster. So as you go to bed at night, you've got 350 calories from this potato and everything you put on it, and it only requires 50 calories to digest and absorb that. So you got 300 calories that your body's got to figure out what to do. But if you eat broccoli or salad that last meal, eat the potato earlier, it's about 150. It's about 50 to 75 calories, but it requires 150 calories to digest and absorb. So your body has actually gotten rid of 100 calories. So it's better to go to bed on that every night than go to bed on the other, because that 300 calories every single night, just even though it's calories here, turns into pounds very quickly. So, and if you're decreasing 100 every night, that'll eventually turn into pounds that you don't have to fight and struggle doing cardio trying to get rid of. So there are principles there that are going to help you just by following the system that's set up.
Awesome. That hopefully triggered some thought processes, some things as you guys are thinking about your own diets, your own programs, other things like that. So did that trigger any questions for anybody as far as if they want to gain weight, lose weight? And there are the 21 principles there. And Ron does a lot of things with specific type of water that you drink and how you alkaline it and everything like that, because that does play a big part into it as well.
there are any questions, I would be glad to answer. But I want to say this, even though there's 21 things built into the program, there are 75 reasons why people carry excess body fat and are overweight and obese. Some of those are mental. Some of those are emotional. Some of those are spiritual. And if you don't deal with the root of the problem, you can't resolve it, at least long term. You can work out really hard and you can, you know, eat really good for a while, but if you don't deal with the root of the problem, then it's gonna reveal itself again. Almost like, when I was younger, I had a, you know, I would leave in the morning, leave my house in the morning, and I would, you know, be before the sun came up, and I would come back home after the sun went down. And I noticed we had dandelions in our yard, and I'm infecting everybody else's yard, you know. So I get the next door neighbor to, you know, come over and cut my grass. Well, 3 days later, we got to get it cut again. And that's the way it is. If we don't go to the root of the problem and dig out the root, it's coming right back. So what we have to do is find out why you're carrying the extra body fat. Sometimes it's spiritual. Sometimes it goes all the way back to your childhood. Something your mother said, something your mother did, something happened with your father, a teacher, molestation, a rape, verbal abuse, mental abuse, ACEs, whatever it might be. Let's dig to the root, find out what the root is so we can resolve the problem. And if we try to find a solution to a problem without having all the information, that solution is not going to be very accurate. So we want to gather all the information. So one of the first thing I do when I'm working with people is I have you write your story. There are things that I will hear that may not be normal, but for you, it's your normal. It's like the fish in the bowl. You can't see the bowl because you live inside of it. So if you were raised and this was your thought process, you said, well, listen, I sleep on the floor in my house. Oh, you don't have a bed? No, I sleep on the floor because whenever there's a drive-by shooting, the lower you are, the least likely you are to get hit with a bullet. Oh, that makes sense. Well, everybody in my neighborhood might agree with me, but if you come from where Kip and Laura is from, if you come from where Hugh is from, you're like, man, that's weird. So I'm able to hear things that are not normal, that maybe you're in that fishbowl. This is normal to you, but it's not normal. And it may have caused some sort of trauma in your life that you don't even recognize. Oh, my mom beat me all the time. Well, didn't everybody get beaten? No. Well, I can't say no, because I did. but everybody didn't get a beating at least two or three times a week. You know, I've got a wife who's never, ever been in one fight. She's never punched anybody. Nobody's ever punched her. She's got four kids, never, ever been in a fight. I don't know. When I grew up, I couldn't go 1 week without at least 10 or 15 fights. And it was a good thing. I mean, you know, I got in a fight with so-and-so. We would brag about it, but never been in a fight.
Yeah, lots of people have new normals, as we like to call them, right? They don't understand that their normal may not be normal or new normal. You know, Joe's here in the office. He'd brought in like 20 police officers, and they were more afraid of doing a real estate deal than walking down the street in Harlem with people pointing guns at them, getting ready to be shot. And they're like, oh, that's just normal, but I might lose some money in real estate. And that freaked them out. They were like paralyzed to like do a deal. And yet, which one? You could lose your life or a few bucks, right? And so we all get into those patterns of what we think is normal. So guys and ladies and everybody on here forever, this is your chance to ask all your fitness questions, all your questions. You know, if you're struggling with something now, there's something that you want to do, then to go ahead and ask that question.
While you guys are thinking about it, I want to, Hugh, if it's okay with you, talk a little bit about the Olympian. Would that be okay with you?
Yeah.
Think of your questions, guys. I'm ready to answer them if I can. If I don't know the answer, I'll tell you I don't know, or I'll find it for you. But with the Olympians, this is something I didn't realize.
Well, let's back up. Some people hopped on late, so they don't know that you just spoke to all of the Olympic athletes in Paris. Right, tell them a little bit about that and then jump into that.
Okay. One of the things with the Olympians is I didn't realize this even as an athlete, that we only see maybe 1,000 of those that are actually, if 1,000 that are training for the Olympics that really make the Olympic stage. But there are so many thousands that are training their whole lives from the age of 4 years old all the way up to the end of their career. But the majority of them never get to see the Olympic stage. They never qualify for the finals. And it was their last opportunity to ever to train. And their parents have spent big money. They've mortgaged their houses. I mean, they've got second mortgages on their homes so that these young people can get their shot. And so they don't make it to the Olympics, and they go through like a postpartum where their career is over now. So what do I do now with my life? Well, a lot of these Olympians don't realize that they have gifts and skills as entrepreneurs that they don't realize. Similar to a sharpshooter in the military. He might be a sniper in the military, but once he gets out of the military, we don't want him using his skills on the street. He's dangerous. We don't want him using. So these Olympians, they don't know what to do with these tremendous skill they have. They have the ability to go longer at one thing than anybody else. They have this tanning ability to focus on one thing. When most entrepreneurs don't have that. They're the top 1% in the world who's capable of doing some of these things. And so, how can I transfer that into a job? How can I transfer that into entrepreneurship? Well, because I came from the ghetto, became an athlete, top of the sport, and then became an entrepreneur. The question is, who better to help them make the transition? So we've developed a relationship with Alibaba, and they've made me, what do you call it?
Global ambassador.
A global ambassador, where they'll be, I go different places with them. They've got something that's going to be taking place in China, and I think I'll be one of the ones that go over with them to, but just speaking for them and helping, and they're developing a school for these athletes. And so being able to train them to say, because we don't hear about it, but a lot of these people are suicidal. It's like, who am I now? All I ever became was this sport. Now it's over. What do I do now? Where do I turn? So, we've really been appreciative of Alibaba, appreciating them for appreciating me and my journey. So now we want to answer questions.
Yeah, and it's
Somebody
not just
asked me a question.
athletes, right? It's corporate executives. It's people get tied to their titles, whether it's police officers, whether it's
That's right.
firefighters, right? Captains, like you get tied to everything everywhere, and then it's gone, just like the athlete's dream, right? They either
That's
survived
right.
or not, and now you got to rebuild.
You're absolutely right, man. And then to reinvent yourself, it takes courage to do that because there is a real fear there. What do I do now? Who am I? And that fear comes in. You just have to face that fear and deal with it. So, Hugh, you're absolutely right in that. You know what? I'm beginning to think after all these years, Hugh, you're a pretty smart guy, man.
Yeah, I'm glad you just realized that, right? No, I'm joking. But yeah, so it was always funny when we got to speak on stages together. We always had a good time being able to play off of things, having that mindset no matter where you're coming from, right? No matter what you're doing is the key to that. So I know we got some bodybuilders on here. We got some different people with different goals. Now's your chance.
Thank you for joining us on the Launch Button Podcast, your gateway to unlocking your true potential and pursuing your passions. Don't let the journey end here. For more empowering insights, valuable resources, exclusive content, and free giveaways, visit www.thelaunchbuttonpodcast.com. At The Launch Button, we're dedicated to helping you break free from the ordinary and embrace a life filled with purpose and fulfillment. Dive deeper into our episodes, access bonus materials, and connect with like-minded individuals on our website and our private community group. Are you ready to take the next steps towards your dreams? Subscribe to the Launch Button Podcast on your favorite podcast platform and never miss an episode. Remember, the power to transform your life lies within your grasp. Press the launch button and soar towards success. For more updates, behind-the-scenes content, and exclusive offers, follow us on social media, join the conversation using hashtag the launch button, and share your journey with our vibrant community. Thank you for being a part of the Launch Button family. Together, let's ignite our dreams and embark on this journey together of growth and discovery. Visit www.thelaunchbuttonpodcast.com and let's continue to launch your greatness. See you there.